Welcome, friends. You're listening to the Swears and Does Hair podcast for bridal hairstylists and makeup artists looking to take their business to new levels. Here we tackle topics such as mindset, finances, balancing business with motherhood, and healthy strategies to keep your body and mind supporting your business rather than holding it back. I'm your host, Sue Minsky, business coach for bridal hairstylists and creator of the Next Level Bridal Business Program. Thanks for joining me. I can't wait to dig into today's topic, so let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Swears and Does Hair podcast. I'm your host, Sue Minsky, and this week we are talking about how to instantly level up your communications with your brides. So if you run into a lot of issues with your brides ghosting, with taking forever to get back to you, a whole lot of just issues with brides communicating. One, I want to say that you're not alone. This is a very common problem in the industry, all right? Just this generation of brides that are coming up are not good at communicating. They really are not. They don't see the benefit, the value, the urgency necessarily to communicating quickly with vendors. They see it as they have a million things on their plate and they'll get back to you when they get back to you. There's really a lack of urgency and proper etiquette when it comes to emailing. To them, it's no skin off their nose to send out 50 inquiries and never respond to anybody. All right. It takes like no time to copy and paste, fill out a bunch of these forms, and then just wait for everybody to communicate with them. And then they can kind of pick through and go and figure out who they want to move forward and work with. And then they communicate with that person. And everybody else is kind of just fucked. They're just like, whatever. We don't care that, you know, you've taken the time out of your day to read my emails and respond and get back to me. There's that less of a level of respect, okay? And that's just the way that this generation is kind of shifting. And I feel like I'm 90 years old saying that, like, kids these days, they don't respect their elders. But, like, they're not. It's super disrespectful to waste somebody's time. But they don't see it that way. They don't see emailing and communicating as a waste of time. They kind of see it as, well, that's your job. You know, this is what you do for a living and emailing is part of it. And so to them, it's just not a big deal. Whereas to us as wedding vendors, we're like, hey, what the fuck? I took my time and I sent you this email and whatever, and you can't even get back to me. So that is just the way that communication is just kind of shifting. But there are a lot of things that we can do as business owners to help to reduce that and to make the flow of communication way more effective. So the last couple of weeks, I have been talking about ways to level up your marketing and really help to bring out your branding and communicate your value, the content that you put out, to really start to build trust with your audience. So by the time that they make it to your inbox, they are much more likely to move through the booking process with you. So I want to take things a little bit further when it comes to actually communicating with brides. Here are some things that you can do to help facilitate that process and help them move through that booking process a little bit better. Hopefully, by now, if you've been taking the steps that I've been talking about in the last several weeks and you've been implementing them, you're getting more inquiries and they're higher quality inquiries in general. But it's not just about responding to people. It's about responding correctly and responding effectively in order to get them to actually get over that hump and move through quickly. Because they may like you and they really trust you and they want to work with you, but if there's not a fire lit under their ass, they're going to take their time and you may have moved on to somebody else. So let's talk about ways that we can level up our communication to get more effective results. So it is important to maintain consistent communication throughout the booking process and from even once they sign that contract all the way up until the wedding day. All right. I see that there are a lot of people who don't prioritize communicating with booked brides because they've already got that contract and they've already signed and they wait for the brides to reach out to them when the brides need something. And if the brides are busy and doing other things with booking and planning out their wedding or just life in general, you know, they have bachelorette parties and bridal showers and they're helping the groom plan the groomsmen weekend and all these kinds of things. They have, you know, 10, 15, 20 different vendors that they are working with between like flowers and photographer and videographer, and they might be doing engagement photos and they might be doing a boudoir shoot beforehand, are all these other things. Okay. So there's a lot on their plate with what they need to do, what they need to check off, who they need to communicate and when. All right. We know what our timeline looks like because we are in it. We are there every single day. We are communicating with all of these brides and reiterating these things to them. Whereas with the brides, this is it. This is just their one wedding. And they may have been a bridesmaid before, but they weren't necessarily there planning. And they might not have a wedding planner that they've hired. So they don't necessarily always know when exactly things need to happen. So it's our responsibility as business owners to make sure that brides know what our process looks like. Because when they need to have details to their caterer is going to be different from when they need to have details to their florist. When they need to have details for their hairstylist, if you're a makeup artist or whatever, might be different from the makeup artist. You know, so if they're not hiring you for both, yes, you're both beauty vendors, but you run your own businesses. So they might say, okay, I need a final headcount 30 days out, whereas you might say, okay, I need a final headcount 60 days out, all right? And even if, you know, I'm a hairstylist and a makeup artist, my best friend is too, we run our businesses a little bit differently, okay? We're going to have slightly different processes. So just because we both offer hair and makeup doesn't mean that our processes are going to be exactly the same. So when brides are inexperienced in our industry and what the expectations are, we have to be super clear about communicating them. Because just because they've been a bridesmaid, somebody else, and that hair and makeup person did things one way, doesn't mean that's how we're going to do it. And they need to know the differences. So consistent communication sets expectations and then helps to facilitate the transfer of information between your bride and you so that things can happen when they need to happen and you don't have to be chasing information. So inside of my course, I have a whole section on like workflows and I break down the whole booking process into six small steps and what the communication needs to look like within each of those six steps, okay? We're not going to go into that into today's episode, but I do want to let you know that you want to take a look at your whole workflow, your whole process in general, and I want you to kind of think about it and how, what are the steps that need to happen and what order do things need to happen in, and then think of, okay, what emails do I need to send to the bride? And is this an email that I can automate? Is this something that I need to manually go in and type up? Is it something that I can schedule? If you have a system like Honeybook, you can say, you know, 30 days before the wedding, this is the email that gets sent. You have a typed up email. You have a pre-written PDF with the information for them. It's attached. 30 days before the wedding day, that's automatically going to go out. You don't have to think about that. So there are ways that you can automate this process and say, all right, what are the steps that need to happen? When does this information need to happen? Or when does this information exchange need to happen? What are my deadlines? How many times and when am I going to communicate that to the bride beforehand? How can I automate it to make it easier on myself? Because the more often that you can communicate with your bride, it's more touch points that she hears from you. You're going to be more higher level in her mind. She's going to be thinking about you more often. She's going to appreciate the high touch communication and be like, wow, she was so communicative. She stayed in touch with me throughout the whole process. Because brides do start to kind of worry. I see in Facebook groups all the time where they're like, I haven't heard from my hairstylist in 3 months and I'm freaking out now that my wedding is 60 days away. And then they start shopping for a replacement. Nothing might be wrong, but they just haven't heard from you long enough. Does that mean that we need to hold everybody's hand and like be up their butt with communicating all the time and it takes all of our time away? No, we can automate a lot of that. So think about your process. Think about these dates. What do you need to say to them and when? Because it's going to be different for everybody. I can educate you and I can coach you and I can recommend different things, but everybody's business is going to be different. So you really need to look at those details for yourself and see, all right, when do I need to have some type of follow-up to say, hey? So like an example would be if your deadline for trials, they have to have their trial no less than 60 days before the wedding. Okay, well, you're not going to send them an email at 60 days before the wedding. It's too fucking late now. You did not give them enough time. They're not sitting there going, okay, 60 days before the wedding, I need to make sure that I have it before that. No, you need to be communicating with them 4 or 5 months in front of that, all right? You're not waiting until 2 months before the wedding. At the five-month mark, you might want to be like, hey, as a quick check-in, a reminder, the wedding is less than 6 months away. We want to make sure that we have your trial scheduled no later than 2 months before the wedding. Here is a link to my online booking where you can pick something now in the next 90 days. You're going to give them a wide enough window, say sometime in the next 90 days for us to get in touch with each other and schedule a trial. My trial appointments book up really quickly. As a reminder, I don't have trials on the weekends, all these kinds of things. Yes, it could be on your website. Yes, it could be in the contract. Yes, you could have told them in the consult phone call that you had with them or your little 15-minute, you know, Zoom communication or whatever, or the very first email that you sent out to them, 10, 12 months ago. They don't remember it, okay? You have to repeat yourself or else you can't just fall back and be like, well, I told her once. Like, cool, she's got a million other things going on. Yes, you remember the details because you deal with it with, 50 brides a year, all right? She needs the reminder. So at 5 months, you say, here's when you need to have it, sometime in the next 90 days. That's plenty of time for her. If she is a teacher and she has to take time off of work, or she is a nurse and she has to figure out when she has a day shift on a weekday where she can come in that matches up with your schedule, all right? So being effective in communicating means giving people enough time to get shit done. Just because you sent an email and you have an opening next week, you shouldn't be expecting people to immediately get back to you and be able to like fit everything in. People's lives are just really super busy these days. So the more time you give them to get their ducks in order, the more likely they're going to get shit done by their deadline because they know when the deadline is coming up and you're checking in with reminders. The next thing that I want to talk about is don't just type information in an email. People aren't going to sit there and read 10 paragraphs about all of the things that they need to know and then retain that information. When you're writing emails, it's best to keep things to 3 to 4 sentences at a time. Think of like a really effective Instagram caption. You're not going to see these big, long, huge paragraphs. You're going to see 2 to 3 lines at a time and then a space. And then you're going to see 1, maybe 2 sentences and then a space. It's breaking things up. People use emojis, bold fonts and things like that. Breaking it up makes it easy to digest the information. You want to hit the high points. When you're writing an email, yes, use full sentences. It's not like a text where we don't want to be super casual with our communication. The more casual you are with your communication, the more people put you in the friend zone and the more likely they are to disrespect your boundaries and your policies. You can absolutely be friendly. I have developed some really amazing friendships with my brides in the last 16 years. But that doesn't mean being too casual. So you still want to stay professional, but don't make it these big, long, wordy paragraphs. Break things up, okay, and really hit the high points in an email. The thing that you attach to it, your PDF that you create, that is where you really sell things. And by sell, I'm not talking about like used carsman, salesy, pushy bullshit. I'm talking about describing what makes you special, going into more detail about here's what the booking process looks like. You can even include a graphic that has like a timeline breakdown. It'd be like 6 months out, this happens. 3 months out, this happens. Like visual aids to help to really get that information to be remembered and retained by people, for them to really understand, okay? You want to have a mix of images and words, and you want to go in when you're doing like a price list. It shouldn't just be like a one-page PDF where it's like a coffee house menu, okay? It shouldn't just be like hair for the bride is XYZ dollars. Cool. Now, the only thing that you've given them to compare you to is price. There should be more to it, okay? Well, what's included in the bride versus the bridesmaid? Do you have an add-on fee to attach extensions? Okay, is that included for the bride or is that separate for the bride? Does it include the trial? Does it not include the trial? What does the trial include? It shouldn't just be wedding trial is XYZ dollars, okay? How long is it? Where is it held? Do you offer on location or is it in studio only? How many looks can they try? All these kinds of things, all the details, all of the meat of it needs to be presented in like a PDF kind of form. So I highly recommend going into Canva or whatever word processing kind of system that you want to use. I always just use Canva. I have the pro version, but you can do a lot within the free version, and just put together a PDF and don't make like one big, long, huge PDF of all of this information. No one's going to read through it. No one's going to remember it. So make very specific ones for different topics. So some different PDFs that you can put together for you. To make your life just a lot easier, break down the information into smaller bits, and then deliver that information at needed times. So I recommend having a pricing guide versus a price list. So think of it like a really super effective menu, all right? You go into a restaurant, and it's going to have beautiful, bright-colored photos of the food that you're going to get. How often do you just read something and say, oh, I want that, versus looking at a photo of something and going, oh my God, that looks amazing. I want that. Okay. So make sure that you're adding in some very beautiful visual elements to one, break things up, but also reinforce what it is that they're buying. Okay. And so it shouldn't just be like word price. All right, you wanted to give beautiful descriptions about what exactly is the value behind what they're getting. They're not just getting a wedding day trial. They're getting the peace of mind that they can wake up on their wedding morning and know exactly what their hair or their makeup is going to look so they can have a stress-free morning, okay? At the trial, they're going to have an opportunity to get to know you, to get to know your work, ask the questions and try things so they can see, do they actually like it or was this just trendy? Okay, so you're going to want to talk about like what it is that is actually included, all the details. But also, you want to talk about the booking process. Okay, you want to set a clear expectation because pricing guide is going to be something that you're going to send out with like a first email. They're going to say, hey, I'm interested in working with you. Are you available on my wedding date? That's not the time to just be like, here's a proposal and here's a contract, sign it. Like, whoa, that's like asking somebody to marry you on the first date. Like, you guys are just opening up a dialogue and having a communication right now. Send them your pricing guide that says, our prices are on the website, but here is a breakdown of what exactly is included. You can include a proposal and just be like, based on the information that you gave me in your initial inquiry form, here's what we're looking at for pricing. You want to include something about like what timing looks like on the day of and be like, because you said you had so many people, this is about how long it's going to be on the wedding day. Here's an example. If your ceremony time is at 1 p.m., then this would be the time that we're finishing with that number of people. This would be what time it looks like that we're starting. Okay. And you can have like an example and like a chart kind of thing that's already pre-built in. You don't necessarily have to use their specific numbers in this PDF. You can say, if you have 5 people who are getting hair and makeup, that's 10 services. That needs 2 artists. It's going to take 6 hours. If you have a ceremony time at 1 p.m., this is about when you can expect to start. This is about when you can expect to finish. And it gives them a visual. It gives them an idea. And they can say, well, I have this many people and blah, blah, blah. So some kind of little breakdown, some little chart. You know, the booking process. Here's what it looks like. First, you let me know you're ready to go. I sent you the contract. You have X number of days to sign it. Then I will follow back up with you about scheduling your trial. Here's when trials need to be done. Here's what our trial process looks like. And then maybe, you know, 2 or 3 sentences very briefly. Okay, so there's all this stuff that's going. It's not just saying, here's how much I cost. Do you want to book me or not? It's here, let me walk you through what the expectations are, what my policies are, about what it's going to cost, because we don't want to make it about money at this point, okay? We want to give them an idea of what it's going to cost for their headcount, but it's really about the process and what they can expect when you communicate. Here's what my office hours look like. Here's how often I'm in communication with you. Here's a broad overview of our timeline, et cetera, et cetera. That way they can kind of look through everything and be like, one, wow, this person is really impressive. They have their shit together. They know how everything is going to work. I'm not going into this with any questions, okay? 2, you're reiterating the value of, look at all these things that I provide. I'm not just saying, here's how much I cost. I'm showing you, like, here's the value. You're getting all this knowledge and all of this information. I'm not just doing your hair. I'm not just doing your makeup. I'm providing peace of mind every single step of the way, okay? And then after they book you, you can put together a welcome guide saying, hey, you know, it's no, again, no longer about price at all. They've already signed the contract. They already know what it costs. This is when you go in and you're like, hey, this is what the process is going to look like. You know, I'm so excited to work with you. Here's a reminder of when things happen, when things are due, when you can expect to hear from me. Again, here's my office hours. If you need anything in between, it's, you know, Tuesdays through Thursdays from 10 to 4 is when I'm in my inbox. If you need to contact me outside of those, it takes me 24 hours to respond, 48 hours to respond, whatever, all those things. I wouldn't include like a phone number or anything, because then they're going to text you and be like, well, this is when she responds to her emails, but maybe she'll respond to a text on 10 p.m. on a Friday. Because that's when she thinks. So like, here's my office phone number you can use to text, but please know that I will follow up with you via email or like whatever your policies are, make it super clear in that welcome guide. Here's when and how I communicate, so they know what to expect. They're not sending you an email and expecting an immediate response when you're like, but this is not when I'm in my inbox. Cool. You can say that on Instagram a million times. Not everybody that follows you or that books you is going to follow you on Instagram. So when you're communicating with your brides, these kinds of things need to be in emails. And you can put it together in a nice little PDF so you don't have to retype everything. Another little side note is I highly recommend putting your office hours and expiration information into your email signature. Every single email that goes to them should have your name and you know, if you have any links to where they can schedule online appointments, put the link in there. These are when your office hours are, and quotes expire XYZ, however many days contracts must be signed, a reminder, you know, brides are booked first come, first serve. In order to secure a date, please make sure that you return your signed contract and retainer invoice paid as soon as possible. Otherwise, you're at risk of losing the date. Whatever. However you want to put it in there, put it in so every single email, they see it over and over and over and over again. Okay. Another PDF I highly recommend doing is a trial prep guide. Okay. So at that 5 month mark is when you're going to be sending this out. If, you know, your trials are done at the 2 month mark, hey, here's a check-in to let you know, schedule your trial in the next 90 days. Here's all the information that you need to know about booking the trial and what to expect at the trial so that you have the next however many days to prepare. Here's a link to where you can book, or in the actual email say, please respond with your selection for what day of the week works best for you. Or here is, you know, we do them on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Please let me know a couple of Tuesdays or Thursdays in the next 90 days so I can check my schedule if you do manual booking. Okay. However you want to put it, keep the email itself fairly brief, go into it more in depth in the PDF. Okay. One full page, directions, parking, and what the space is like. Okay. That's the only information that needs to go on that page. Don't cram everything into two pages of a PDF and expect people to sit there and read it. Each page should have its own topic. The location, another topic on what to bring, another page on here's how to give me feedback, another page on here's how long we take, here's how many looks we do, here's what the process is if we go overtime or if you need to. Here's what the process is if you change your mind about your look and you want to come in for a second trial. Like, lay all of these things out beforehand. So when they're booking their appointment, they can say, okay, we're going to have 2 hours to do my hair trial. I can try two different looks. If I change my mind and I want to try something else that we didn't try on the wedding at the trial, I need to come in for another trial. I will have to pay for it, and this is how much it's going to be. It can be the same price as the initial one. You could offer a smaller discount, whatever. I don't recommend doing discounts, but some people will be like, oh, well, if they want to come in for a second trial, I'll do it for a little bit cheaper, whatever. I don't know. I don't know why you would do that, but some people do, okay? So that way they know, all right, here's what to expect. And then another page talking about how to look for inspiration images. And you can create links inside of a PDF. So they can click on that link and go to a guide maybe that you have created inside of Instagram. Okay, so you can take all of your posts of glam waves and you can make a guide on Instagram that breaks down glam waves. You can have fluffy glam waves, sleek, side part, center part, tucked, untucked, like whatever, all these different versions. Put something in your caption discussing what the difference is and just say, hey, if you're thinking about glam waves, I've created a guide for you. Also, please know this information. If you're thinking about glam waves, here's what you need to know before your trial. You're going to need extensions. Here's the process that I recommend for extensions, whether you rent them, whether you sell them, whether you do them in salon or you have affiliate links or whatever. Put that information all right there. You shouldn't be starting the conversation when they show up for the trial, okay? You want to have that all in there in that PDF. And again, you don't have to type this out. You don't have to repeat this. It's already there. And then have some photos. Maybe have a model come in and be like, this is what they look like with extensions. Here's what they look like without extensions. The side-by-side right there when you're talking about it before the trial, 5 months before their wedding day, they got plenty of fucking time. You are planting a seed, okay? And then in your follow-up communications, you might want to have, you know, a quick email that you send out the week before their trial. Hey, just in case you lost it, here's the PDF again. I can't wait to meet you. This is your day and your time, whatever the confirmation. If you need to reschedule, here's that information. Just a quick reminder, if you need extensions, you're going to need to go to a Sally's or you're going to go whatever. Here's the process or whatnot. You're watering that seed. You planted it back at the 5-month mark. You're talking to them about the extensions. You're not waiting until they show up and just be like, well, I told you you're going to need extensions. Not good enough, guys. Okay. Repeat yourself often if you want people to actually remember and follow directions. So those are just like the three most common PDFs, but you could have PDFs that you have for referrals. If you're not available on the wedding day and you have some other colleagues that you want to recommend, you can put together a beautiful PDF. I'm doing that for myself right now. I do hair and makeup for maternity and newborn photographers for a bunch of them in the area. And there's one who is in DC and she always starts her sessions at like 9 a.m., which means that I need to leave my house around 4:30 or 5 in the morning in order to get into DC, get set up, get parked, because most of these people have like on the street parking. So I have to drive around forever, find somewhere, set up, do their hair, do their makeup, clean up, and be gone before 9 a.m. Okay, so I don't want to do that shit anymore. So I'm creating a beautiful PDF of my colleagues who are willing to go into DC and have them done before 9 a.m. So when I have that photographer and somebody says, oh, you know, so-and-so photography recommended you, I can immediately respond and just be like, thank you so much. Unfortunately, her sessions start too early for me to be able to get there and to do your hair and makeup in time. Here's a PDF of other colleagues that I've already spoken to who are willing. So I'm not wasting their time. And I'm going to put it together and have like a pretty, either a headshot or a photo of them of doing like newborn work or maternity work or whatever, a photo from a photographer that they worked with there. Here's their contact information. Make it a clickable link. So I'm making it super easy for them. And then I can just say, hey, here you go. I've already put this together for you. You can do something like that for other hairstylists if you're just a makeup artist, and vice versa for makeup artists if you're a hairstylist. Here's some weddings that we've worked on together where they did the makeup and here's where I did the hair. Make it a clickable link. All right. If people see you doing that kind of thing, they're more likely to turn around and be like, wow, thank you so much for sending me so many referrals and clients. They'll do it for you. And it's just it's a nice touch, okay? And it looks really nice because that client that might not be booking you for their wedding is going to be like, wow, that was a really nice, well-branded, super professional PDF that they sent me. I'm not using them for my wedding, but maybe I'll recommend them to one of my friends or one of my colleagues or somebody else and just be like, hey, they weren't even available, but look how awesome this person. I can see why they're already booked so far in advance. And they have a friend. They can be like, yeah, you need to get on this person. Look how nice their communication is. Okay, so there's a lot of different things. Or you can have one put together that's all of the vendors that you refer after somebody's booked you. And you're like, if you're still looking for photography and videography and whatever and blah, 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 blah. You can have one of those put together that you send out. So there's all different kinds of like these wonderful PDFs that can give so much information in a beautiful visual way rather than just typing stuff out on your website, throwing it into a clause in a contract or, you know, putting it all over your Instagram or whatever. Put it in a PDF. Just go into Canva, make it in a PDF. People are going to see it. They're going to be impressed by it and they're going to retain it and follow those directions a lot better. All right. It's nice because then you just create those templates once. And then if maybe a minor detail changes or you get these really gorgeous photos back from a wedding where you're like, oh my God, that's perfect. Let me go in and update the PDF. Cool. You only have to do that like maybe once a year if you really want to. You could use the same PDF for a couple of years. The only thing you might need to change is maybe like your pricing, whatever. but it continues to benefit your business, and it maybe takes you an hour, 2 hours. I can help make the process a lot faster for you. I actually have a whole bundle of templates. So I have my golden emails templates. If you're not familiar with it, go to the description of this video or this podcast. I'll put a link for it in there. It's $77, and there is not only PDF templates, and I think the original one comes with a welcome guide and a pricing guide. You can add on a trial prep guide for like $17 at checkout, and then there's a whole separate bundle of like all of these extra PDFs, like referral PDFs and timelines and all that kind of stuff. A wedding day timeline is also one of the PDFs included in the original one, though. So it's not just the Canva PDFs. It is templates for actual email communications. So I think now we're somewhere around 40-something different email scripts that I've written out for you, whether it's like the full initial welcome email, or you can go by specific situations. So there's like an appendix at the back, and you can go through and be like, cancellations. And there's different phrases and like little paragraphs that you can copy and paste and use it to help you communicate your policies a little bit more effectively and professionally without being emotional about it. Because that's where I think a lot of people really get their hang up when it comes to communicating, is they let their emotions dictate how they're going to respond. Either they're getting in their head thinking that the bride is upset or angry, and they're trying to diffuse the situation before it's blown up. And in their head, they're seeing worst case scenario. They're seeing, okay, well, this is what it's going to look like when it blows up. So let me fix this first. And it may not be there yet. And what you're doing is you're ending up planting the seed for the blow up in the bride's mind, or you're planting a seed of doubt. It's a phrase I see a lot of people say, oh, I would never want anybody to feel pressured or whatever, or I don't want to see anybody feel like they don't love my work or I can't do it or whatever. Now you're planting the seed where it's like, well, how many people have told you that they don't trust you, or that they don't believe you, or that they don't whatever? That bride's going to be subconsciously thinking like, why would you even say that? Why would you mention it? Why would you feel like we're not a good fit? Are we not a good fit? I thought we were a good fit. But now you're trying to be like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. So maybe like, don't get all emotional and don't overthink things and don't get in your head. We don't need these big, long, lengthy descriptions of why our policies are our policies. Our policies are in place to provide the highest level of service to our clients. They're there for your protection as well as mine as a business owner, so that everybody has an equal exchange and everybody has an amazing experience working together. Okay, that's it. You don't have to go into, well, this is why I charge what I charge, and this is why this is this, or whatever. They're in place to protect the experience of everybody involved. If that's a sticking point for you, I completely understand, and I hope you find somebody who meets your needs. Don't overthink it. You don't have to try and save every client interaction or save every booking. You don't have to convince somebody. Like a lot of people will say, like, oh, well, it's industry standard. Cool. Doesn't matter. All right. Either they're willing to do it or they're not willing to do it. Are you willing to bend or are you not willing to bend? Okay. It's very black and white. This is your policy and that's it. You're sticking to it, and they're welcome to find somebody else that has a different policy, or they can book with you. Black or white. We don't need to overthink it. They don't care that it's industry standard. They don't care why you charge what you charge, like all these things. We don't need these big, long, in-depth explanations. That is us being emotional about it and trying to justify and trying to overly educate. But at the end of the day, what we're doing is we're trying to justify. and it comes across as either whining or complaining or being unsure of yourself and having to justify. All right. It is what it is, and they can take it or they can leave it. Okay. So, yeah, I recommend not writing from an emotional standpoint. And if you have a struggle with that, my PDF guide and my templates guide is going to help you with little phrases and verbiage to help you reiterate and explain your policies and your boundaries very professionally, without you having to overthink it and without you having to worry about, am I saying this correctly or whatever. So go to the link. You can purchase that. Like I said, it's like $77 for all of those email templates and then the three PDF guides. The trial prep guide is an add-on, and then I have a whole separate bundle with a bunch of other PDFs that you can also add on at checkout as well. So let's get to today's affirmation. I can communicate my policies to brides firmly, but professionally. I don't need to write with my heartstrings and over-explain in order to be understood or respected. Okay? Let's try it again. I can communicate my policies to brides firmly, but professionally. I don't need to write with my heartstrings and over-explain in order to be understood or respected. So that is today's episode. Thank you so much for joining me. I will see you back next week. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you feel empowered, knowledgeable, and capable of handling anything that your business throws your way. Don't forget to subscribe to get access to new episodes as they are released each week on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Love today's episode? Let me know. Leave me a review and tell me what your biggest takeaway was from the conversation. Have a request for a future topic or someone you'd like to hear me interview? Find me on Instagram at beautybizcollective and drop me a DM. And if you're hungry for more actionable content to help you grow your bridal business, go to www.swearsanddoeshair.com/bookmorebrides to sign up for my free on-demand training and learn how to book better quality brides faster, easier, and with less stress.